Good morning, everyone. Just going to correct George when he said, you know, what we're going to do for his last Sunday. I actually said we're going to bring him up here. I'm going to stand right beside him, and I was going to push him off the stage. It was just a joke. So for those of you who don't know how to take jokes, well, I hope you guys are all doing well this morning. I have a good message to share with you. And with George, obviously, we'll miss him being on staff and being so annoying in the office and nosy and, like, you know, me being on my computer and he's like trying to see what I'm doing, and we're gonna miss him, but we're gonna replace him with the good another annoying young person, whoever that may end up. We'll see. I'm just joking. You know, God has a sense of humor. He made me into a preacher. I was supposed to be a comedian, and here I am today preaching. So, but I do like to add some jokes when I speak, just so that, you know, people laugh. I like when people laugh. But now we're going to get serious, and we're going to talk about some things from the Word of God. And I'm going to continue on speaking in a message that I started a few weeks ago in prayer. But it's not going to be start praying part three. It's going to be take it to the next level. But if you remember, I was talking about what prayer is and how apostles came to Jesus, and they asked him. The only thing that they asked Jesus to teach them how to do. It wasn't, Jesus, teach us how to preach. Jesus, teach us how to heal. Jesus, teach us how to do this and how to do that and how to do this. But they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. And then Jesus obviously gave him instructions how to pray, taught him how to pray, gave him the way. And then, we usually, when we read that scripture, we read that as a part of the Sermon on the Mount, but then there was an add-on that was a part of that scripture that we sort of usually don't get to. Like, we finished the prayer, amen, and it was like, okay, that's it. But there was an add-on that he gave to the disciples, and because they asked him, teach us how to pray, it was sort of like natural that Jesus added this on, and it was actually fasting. Prayer, taught him how to pray, but then he also said, when you fast. It wasn't like, if you pray, it was when you pray, so it was expected from them to pray, to be praying. And then when he finished off teaching them how to pray, he didn't say, and then if you fast, he said, when you fast. So it was a part of the prayer experience. It was a part of a Christian walk, a Christian experience, and what we are to offer to God. So, the reason I want to speak on this topic of fasting is probably going to be the least popular sermon I've ever preached in my entire life, because we all love food, don't we? We just love food. I love the smell of food. I love the taste of food. I love the way it looks. I love the way it smells. I love the way everything about food. And the culture that we live in is basically, if you sit in a car and you're in a city that's developed, like Kitchener, whoever thought I would ever end up in a city of Kitchener. Kitchener, you drive down Kitchener, and then you will see almost on every single corner there is a fast food restaurant. Yes. There is a choice of food for you to pick from. You know, if you feel like McDonald's, there's McDonald's. If you feel like Tim Hortons, there's Tim Hortons. If you feel like AW, there is AW as well. I just listed three top favorite restaurants that I have, and I drive through when I drive my car through. The other ones are not worthy of my wallet, except Starbucks sometimes, you know. But it's hard for us to even think about fasting because we are just surrounded by food 24/7. And beyond that, our body is meant to have food to survive. If we don't eat something for an extended period of time, we will hear our stomach growl and we will get tired and we'll get cranky. And there is a new term that we have in our culture. We will get hangry. We will get so hangry that people around us will suffer to the point of, if you don't feed them something, you better prepare yourself for a funeral. I'm joking. But, you know, it's hungry and angry, and then put them together, it's hangry. But that's how we live. That's how we function. And fasting is one of those spiritual practices that Jesus has taught us but also left us with. And we see it in the Old Testament. We see it in the New Testament. So I'll use some examples to share with you, to encourage you to start fasting. And that's the title of my message, Start Fasting. There's a lot of things we have to start this year. 2022 was a year to start. But this one is a game changer. And it wasn't a game changer only for people in the scriptures. It was a game changer for me personally, and I really believe it will be a game changer for you. Three practices. One is the prayer. I spoke on that. Fasting. And then the third one I'll speak on next time I speak, whenever that ends up being, is going to be meditation and how powerful meditation is. So I'm going to dive right in into a promise that God has given us in Isaiah 58. This whole chapter is about fasting, but he promises that we, when we enter a chosen fast, that he will cause his light to break forth like the morning. This is what he says, Isaiah 58. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your guide. Wow. So before I go into benefits of why we should fast, in our culture, when you say fasting, almost prayer, fasting, and even meditation, it's almost popular among all religions. Every religion prayers, every religion fasts, and every religion there's a part of meditation and stuff like that. But we're going to talk about Christian fasting. That's the first thing I want to say. And then we're going to talk about what right now what fasting isn't. And here's what in the world, especially among my age group, millennials, there's this term that's really popular. It's called intermittent fasting. You only eat one meal a day for a certain, you know, period of 8 hours, and then you don't eat for the rest of the day. So one meal a day, and it only works if you, the secret to it is you have to eat healthy one meal a day, not drive through McDonald's one meal a day. It's not going to work like that. So you have to eat healthy one meal a day, and then that's supposed to basically your body, and the way it will just help. Generally, so that's, you know, if you type in on Google intermittent fasting, it's really popular, and everybody is doing it, and everybody wants to be a part of their day-to-day life because it's healthy. So fasting is not intermittent fasting, like what the culture talks about. Fasting is not a diet. Well, I'm just gonna, you know, eliminate some foods from my day-to-day food, and I'm gonna start eating healthier. It's not a weight loss exercise where you're trying to lose weight. It's like, okay, I'm going to fast now. You know, it's not a hunger strike. I was talking to a lady, and she said, you know what? I used to fast 24 hours just before we would go to a Mandarin, which was the all-inclusive, eat all you can, right? And I thought to myself, I did that once too. You know, and I'm going to fast for 24 hours, so I'm going to get my monies back. When I go pay those $20, I'm going to eat all of the food that they have there. It's not healthy, and that's not how fasting is either. It's not a hunger strike. You know, we've seen hunger strikes. People go on hunger strikes for certain reasons. Back in Europe, there's lots of conflict, so there will be a guy that will be opposing the other party, and he would just say, you know, We're going to hunger strike. I'm not going to eat a thing until you guys do what I tell you. And the other guys from the other party are like, sure, just go ahead. Die. We don't care. You know, and then people will go on hunger strikes for days, and then it will be like in the news and on and on and on. And then that's not what fasting is. It's not a ritual. It's not going hungry. It's not starving. That's not what fasting is. But this is what fasting is. Fasting is saying no to what I want. In this case, I'll talk about food. There's different things we can fast on. I've fasted multiple times on social media, fasted multiple times on media, and just consuming stuff, different things. But I'm going to talk about food because that is the one that is the most common fasting way in the scriptures. So fasting is saying no to what you want, which is what we all really want. We love food, for a greater spiritual purpose. That's what fasting is. So we as a church, we usually do a fast once a year. Maybe twice, depending on, you know, Christmas, Easter, depending on the time of the year, collectively. And we will most likely do that again going into a new year. And I know I'm a little bit early to the party, but I want to encourage you and inspire you this morning to start fasting. It's crazy how when I talk to people, and especially some of the Christians, do you pray? Yeah, I pray, you know. You fast? When's the last time you fasted? It's been a long time. It's not a typical thing that we as Christians do, but I believe it's a part of our spiritual experience, and it should be a normal part of our walk with Christ. So why don't we do it? Because we love food, and our body loves food, and it is saying no to what you want for a greater spiritual purpose. Fasting is wanting to be filled with God more than being filled with food, your desires, your wants, and what you want, what you really, really want. And there's a saying back home, I say it all the time, when you eat a lot and you don't end up going to washroom for a while, you're full of yourself. It's just a joke, okay? But really, that's to translate it to fasting. When we eat and we just eat, we never fast, we're basically always full of ourselves and what we want and how we want things to run and what foods we want. And it's like a menu. We pick what we want to eat. We're so free to do all those things. So we don't naturally want to fast because it's not a part of our makeup. But it should be a part of our makeup because Jesus himself showed us in a scripture that he fasted. If you look at the Old Testament, there's so many examples. There's examples when Israel came together. The leaders would call upon a fast, and they would need an answer from the Lord. It would get serious. There would be a situation, whether it's a sickness of David's son, and then he decides to fast. Then there's just healing, deliverance, repentance, wanting an answer. Simply also a call to a ministry. People fasted. And Jesus himself gave us this wonderful example that when he was baptized, he was led by the Spirit into the desert to fast for 40 days, to pray and fast for 40 days. He didn't go into a desert just to pray. The scripture tells us he went to pray and fast. And then what happened is the scripture tells us that when Jesus was getting hungry, the enemy came to tempt him. Thankfully, he was able to use scripture and said it is written. And this is what I think of when I fast, and I want to leave this with you. It is written, a man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he was referring to our spirit and how our spirit gets fed with the word of God. And that was an answer that he gave to Satan when he was tempting him. That's an answer that you and I can give to Satan when he comes to tempt us, when we're fasting. And say, it's written, you know what? I don't live of bread alone. I live of God's word. So, the question I have for you this morning is, how serious are you? We might be praying about something. I'm going to ask you, are you praying about it? Say, yeah, I'm praying about a certain issue, a certain thing. I need an answer here, I need this and that. But then, if I was going to ask you, are you fasting about it? If you're so serious about it, if you're praying about it, are you actually taking the time to fast about the certain issue? Or in other words, how bad do you want it? How serious are you? And if you need God to move a certain area in your life, if you really need an answer, need a breakthrough, fasting is the way. It's the way. And I want to talk about a few things here and why we should fast and give you the why to inspire you to do it. But I want to start with what Jesus was talking about fasting, but I just want to point this out. Jesus himself did not do a single thing for God, for what he was appointed to do, his purpose on this earth. He did not do a single thing. He did not heal a person. He did not preach a sermon. He did not do a single thing until he prayed and fasted and prepared himself for what was to come. That's when he launched his ministry, his calling, and he went on for 3 years and did all these incredible things. But that was sort of like a launch for his ministry. Later on, when Jesus ascended to heaven, disciples were together, gathered. They were praying for the Holy Spirit to come, and as they were praying, the Spirit fell down. And disciples even themselves did not do a single thing. In Acts 13, it talks about them gathering together to fast and pray before they were sent out. Again, the calling went along with fasting. And I just want to challenge you this morning. I don't know where you're at when it comes to your calling and your purpose in your life and your walk with the Lord. But if you haven't taken the time to pray and fast and ask God to direct you and guide you and show you what is it that he wants you to do, I want to encourage you to do it. Because Jesus himself started his calling started with prayer and fasting. Disciples, prayer and fasting. And that was just a part of the church, the early church. The early church went on to fast once or twice a week, and it's still really deeply rooted in traditional churches like Catholic and Orthodox Church. They have certain fasts around certain holidays, but also they have it as a part of a weekly, it's a weekly thing that they do. So fasting is important, really important. That Jesus, when he said it here in Matthew 6, he said, and I'm going to read this, 6, verse 16, when he's talking about prayer, said, this is how you pray, amen. And then he said, but when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. There were people in that time and age, they were fasting only to be seen by others. And Jesus calls them out, the Pharisees, saying, you pray or fast two, three times a week, but your hearts are far away from me. And then he says, when you fast, I truly tell you, they have already received their full reward if they do it just so to be seen. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, which means dress yourself normal, act normal, be normal, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, the promise. He will reward you if you do it. And it's not for you to go around and say, hey, I'm fasting today. I'm not eating today. Or you're so somber and you're so like tired. You're like, what's going on? Oh, I'm just fasting today, you know. Like, that's not how it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be doing things in secret that are unseen to the unseen God who will answer us. So, again, point this out. It doesn't say if you fast, but when you fast. So God expects us to regularly not only pray, but he expects us to regularly fast. So you know, when we have when we're just living this Christian life, and maybe even sort of like kind of lost the first love, for those that have, you know, become Christians, and kind of time goes by, you're like kind of like, how are things going? Well, meh, it's okay. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Are you praying? Yeah, I'm praying. Everything is so wishy-washy. It's okay. How's your spiritual walk with the Lord? It's okay. Meh, you know, like meh, meh, meh. And it's like there's not really anything special to it. And that's why I believe fasting gets the meh, M-E-H, out of your spirituality. And you become an exciting Christian. The meh, there's even an emoji, meh. I don't know if you ever typed it in a thing, meh. How you doing? M-E-H, and it's like this emoji, like, you know. It will get the meh out of your spirituality, and it will get you excited. That's what fasting did for me, and I believe will do for you as well. It takes less of you and gives you more of God, and we see it on and on and often in our scriptures. And this is what I give you the benefit of fasting, and I'm going to give you six benefits that personally have helped me. There's many more benefits. Now, you can go into a health thing and talk about how it's healthy and all that stuff. It is healthy. Scientists have proven that fasting is healthy for us. But I'm just going to give you six benefits of fasting that I've seen in my own life that have been a game changer in many ways. So if you haven't done it, I want to encourage you to start fasting, because number one, fasting eliminates pride. Psalm 35:13 says, yet when they were ill, I put on a sackcloth and humble myself with fasting when my prayers return to me unanswered. Psalm, talking about how psalmist was praying. He did not get an answer. But then he started fasting and he humbled himself. Man, there's nothing in this life that will humble you more and your body and your flesh than fasting. It's a game changer, and it will deal with pride. You know, the first sin that we know of in the scripture is not the one that happened in the Eden with Adam and Eve when they disobeyed God. It was the one that happened in heaven with Lucifer when he wanted to be like God and he had pride in his heart. And that is the first sin that I believe that we are all have inherited because of the sinful nature we have all inherited and we have to deal with on a daily basis. See, God appointed a certain way for us to humble ourselves, and that is fasting. And I also believe the greatest barrier to our prayers is pride and fasting. And we need to deal with pride on a daily basis. So, bringing your soul into submission to God is what fasting is, and the scripture points it out multiple times, which means your mind, your will, and your emotions, you want to submit those things to God, and it just humbles you, and it deals with your pride. Romans 12 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, and this is your true and proper worship. And I believe fasting is a big part of that, where we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. So that's the benefit number one, dealing with the pride. I've seen it in scripture, just before I go to the next point, there was two occasions in the Old Testament that when people humbled themselves, God really answered. One was when Jonah came and Nineveh was condemned to be dealt with. And then when Ninevites found that out, they called upon all the people to pray and fast to see God's mercy. And as they prayed and fasted, God heard their prayer and fasting, and God spared the city, the whole city. For the next 100 years, there was a peace there. And there was a big answer that happened. They humbled themselves to pray. And then Elijah had a confrontation with the wicked king, Ahab, if you know who that is. He was one of the worst kings that ever lived. Even scripture even says that he was the worst king ever. And his wife, Jezebel, was terrible as well. And they were like the worst couple that ever lived. If you want a marriage advice, don't go talk to them. They're just like the worst ever. And then they were condemned, but then what happened in the scriptures when we read, God condemned Ahab to death, and then Ahab, who was wicked, terrible in many ways, it says in the scripture that he humbled himself and he prayed that the Lord would spare him. He laid down his pride, he humbled himself and prayed, and guess what happened? The Lord answered, heard his prayer, and spared his life. And he said, because you humbled yourself and you prayed and fasted, I'm going to spare you, your generation, and it's going to be the next generation that's going to suffer for the sins of that you've committed. Isn't that incredible? So if Ahab, who was a wicked king, humbled himself and prayed, and God heard him, how much more can God hear me and you as we humble ourselves and pray before him? Incredible. Number two, fasting awakens your spiritual senses. There's nothing that will awaken your spiritual senses more than fasting, because there's no food to worry about. There's nothing else to worry about but just your spirit. Sometimes we get dull, we get sleepy, we get to meh walk with God. It's like, how's your walk with God? It's meh. But what fasting will do is you start fasting, it will awaken you. And that's what happened to Paul. Paul, you know the story of Paul, was a persecutor, destroyer, killing all the Christians, and then Jesus met him on the road to Damascus. He was blinded, couldn't see. And then there was something that happened, because at that time he said here in the scripture, Acts 9:9, that Saul was blind for 3 days. He neither ate nor drank for 3 days. He fasted for 3 days. There was a spiritual awakening that happened in Paul's life as he waited for an answer. And then we all know what happened later. He started seeing again, and he was one of the greatest the guy that led the whole revolution of the new believers post-Christ. He was the one who wrote half of the New Testament. He was doing incredible things for Christ. But he humbled himself, he prayed, and God did a spiritual awakening in his life. And then later on in 2 Corinthians, he talks about how he approved himself as a minister of the gospel because he prays and he fasts. It was actually a mark of his ministry. So fasting will always awaken your spiritual senses. And not that necessarily food is bad, but you don't have food to worry about. And then you get into your spiritual self and you start walking in the spirit, and then things start becoming clear, and you all of a sudden your mind is clear when you don't have food in your body for a certain period of time. Your mind gets sharper, and then you're more aware of things and spiritual things as well. And it's like that fight with the spirit and flesh that we read that even Apostle Paul talks about in Galatians 5. It's like, I want to do something, but flesh. And he says, walk in the spirit, and walking in the spirit is peace, joy, love, self-control. All those things come as our spirit is awakened and as we are in union with the Father. There is an increased activity of the Holy Spirit when we fast and pray, when we are in unity with the Father. The third thing that this fasting deals with, it deals with your unbelief. It deals with your unbelief. And this is a big one, because there's two scriptures I'm going to point out about a boy in the scriptures that was demon-possessed. And in Mark, talks about how they brought this boy to disciples, and disciples tried to pray for the boy, but nothing happened. And dad was frustrated, and then he came to Jesus. He said, Jesus, in verse 24, Mark 9, he says, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And then Jesus goes out, he's like, basically he writes off disciples, he says, how long am I going to deal with you guys? And then he says, get out, you know, this demon, command the demon to get out. The demon gets out, and as a part of this story, after Jesus has gone indoors, verse 28, he says, disciples asked him privately. Now, this is an answer that he gave in Mark, and we'll go and talk about what the answer was in Matthew. But I really believe those two converge together and they work together. This is what he said. Disciples asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Why are you so special? We thought we were special too. We were your followers. And then Jesus says, he replied, verse 29, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. And then in Matthew, different translation says this, 19. Disciples asked him in private and said, why couldn't we do it? And then Jesus replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can move this mountain, and you can move it from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. There might be things in your life that you're dealing with and you're praying for, you're believing for, but there may be doubt in a certain area, and you're not fully, completely trusting and believing the measure of faith that you have in your heart. But I believe here's an answer in these scriptures. It is through prayer and fasting, as we commit ourselves to God fully, that our belief grows, our belief develops, and we, our faith becomes so real that we can just speak into a situation and things will happen. And that's what fasting does. Not just prayer, but fasting as well. Number four, prayer fuels your prayer life. Fasting fuels your prayer life. Fasting fuels your prayer life. If prayer is fire, I believe prayer is fire. And when I was a kid, I was playing with fire, and we had, like, you know, made a fire outside. And then we weren't really smart. We took some gasoline, and we poured it on the fire. And that fire just went like crazy. Thankfully, we ran away. We didn't get hurt. It was stupid. I don't recommend anybody doing it. But if prayer is fire, and prayer is fire, fasting is like putting a gasoline over your fire. And it takes it to a next level. And there's nothing that will infuse and make your prayer more powerful, your prayer life more powerful than fasting. Does God hear our prayers? Yes, He does. He always does. But fasting does not change whether God hears us. It changes our prayer and the way we pray. It strengthens our prayer, intensifies it, it sharpens it, gives it passion. It causes us to yearn and to seek with clear focus. It's like fasting is like kneeling. It's a physical gesture which cultivates the spiritual posture that God loves and looks for in all of His disciples. So when you fast, you're basically on fire. And when you're on fire and fasting and you're praying, your prayer life, I've seen in my own life, is just so much more fervent and so much more powerful when I fast. It's not just, yeah, God, help me with this and this and that. It's just like, God, help me with this. I need your help. I'm sick and tired of this. Sorry for yelling. I didn't yet. I should have done it in the first service because it'll wake people up. But, you know, like, it just takes things to a whole new level. Okay, I know some people are more energized and some people do it regardless when they just do normal prayers, our prayer team. But if you're like, your prayer life is sort of like, meh, yeah, I just pray to God. When you start fasting, you're not going to be praying like, eh, it's going to be like next level. Number five, fasting brings a breakthrough. Isaiah 58. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of yoke, set the oppressed free, and break every yoke. Breakthrough? Do you need an answer? Do you need a breakthrough in a certain area in your life? I really believe, and because I've seen it in my own life, that, like Jesus said in this, in Mark 9, there is some things in life that can only be dealt with prayer and fasting. Prayer only? Yeah. But fasting as well. It's like an add-on on the menu that you need to check off as well. It breakthrough just comes faster when we fast. It lets us humbly access the awesome power of God. And the breakthrough comes. You know, I really believe if you're like in your life and you're struggling about some things and you're still waiting for an answer, and it's been a while, you're praying for something, or you don't have understanding of what is the decision you got to make, or what you need to do, or what is it that you need to pursue, or you're praying for something, you've been praying for a long time. I really believe that you also need to commit yourself to God fully, humble yourself in fasting as well, if you want to see God move and show you what you want Him to show you. It might not be exactly an answer that you want to hear, but I believe, because I've seen in my own life, when I fasted, when I prayed and fasted, the answer came. You know, I remember when I was younger, I did it more often. I don't do fasting as much as I used to, and it's not about me. I still fast, but I've seen it in my own life in my own walk with the Lord, whenever I prayed and fasted, the answer came faster than I thought it would. And whenever I prayed and fasted, whether it was for my spouse, whether it was for my my calling, my ministry, whether it was for whatever God had for me in the future, things just fell into place. And I'm a living testament of that. Like, it wasn't me. Well, I had to do my part. I had to pray and fast. But it was all a part of what I was doing. And part of that was a big part of it was fasting. It really was. So I want to encourage you too. That breakthrough is closer than you think. When you open up your spiritual senses and you commit yourself to the Lord for a greater purpose, for praying and fasting, and then when the stomach growls and you're skipping a meal or whatever the way you're choosing to fast, you can just say, you know what, I'm hungry, but I'm more hungry for that other thing that I'm praying for, I want to see in my own life. I'm going to end it with number 6. Fasting reassures you of Father's love. It's done it in my life so many times when I doubted whether God really loves me. Maybe you had those moments in your life, you're walking through life, you're thinking, does God really care? Does he really love me? Does he really have a plan? Because everything that's been happening to me doesn't really seem like he does. It doesn't really seem like God knows what he's doing. But then the sense of God's love and presence that you feel when you commit yourself to fasting and prayer, it's beyond anything you can feel or imagine. It deals with the spiritual problem for us head on. And then our greatest need, obviously, is to be forgiven. But then also our greatest need is to be loved and to experience the love of the Father. And a lot of people don't, they kind of just go through life, they don't really feel God's love because they're not committed to prayer and fasting. And they're not committed to be in union with the Father. So fasting helps us in this way, assures God's love for us and how much he loves us. It brings us clarity of mind and a sound mind, saying, you know what, it doesn't matter what I'm facing, it doesn't matter what I'm going through, it's so terrible, it's bad, but beyond that, I know that God loves me. I know that he cares for me. So many more benefits. I'll end it here. And I want to ask you a question again. How bad do you really want it? How bad do you really want it? Chains broken, addictions, hurts, pains, uncertainty about future. 2 Chronicles, I love this scripture. I'm going to end it with this. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves, in other translation, humble themselves goes along with the fasting, fast and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear them from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Each of us, I want to challenge you this morning, because I know it's not the most popular topic of fasting, and I know it's a really hard thing to do. And depending on your health and your requirements and all those things, I want to encourage you to just, for this next week, take maybe a meal that you can just take out of your day, fast a meal a day. If you can fast all the whole day, do it. But I want to encourage you to start fasting so that you can see the benefits of it in your life. You may not see it right away, but I promise you it's going to come. Slowly you're going to start seeing the benefits, the benefits we talked about. And during that time, when you're fasting, you know, usually, I don't know if you work and you have a lunchroom you go to, during the time of lunch hour, whatever that is, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour, if you're fasting a meal, you say, you know what? This is the time I'm going to pray, and I'm going to seek God's face, and I'm going to dedicate myself to the Lord. And whenever you hear the growl in your stomach, it will be a reminder for you, okay, now it's time to pray. Because the growl is a reminder to pray. So as you stand up this morning, I want to encourage you and say, pick a day, either a meal or a day, full day, and dedicate that day to the Lord, prayer and fasting, and see what God will do and can do through that. Amen. You know, we all have a part to play in our Christian walk, and we all have, you know, I believe a lot of people miss out on what God has for them because they're not committed fully, and they're not fully in line with the Spirit, and they're not committed. Well, you know, I'm just living my life fast, prayer, fasting, and do that stuff. That's for the preacher and for the apostles and disciples. I'm just a regular. I go to work. I go home. I don't bother anyone. They don't bother me. No. God has so much more that He wants to do in your life and through your life if you would just commit yourself to Him. Submit yourself to Him and give Him your time. Sacrifice your body. Pray. Fast. And then see how much more God is going to do in your life. See how much of how answer is going to come. You know, I shared it before, I shared it again. Like when my wife and I were looking for a house back 5 years ago, even at that time, it was so expensive to buy a house. And now it's even worse. But I'm thinking to myself, like, we dedicated ourselves to prayer and we fasted. And when we did that, it was literally like the next day we got an answer. It was literally like a next day. Now, this is a testimony. It might not work for you like that. But it's just an encouragement. Why didn't we do it before? We love our mom and dad-in-law. We lived with them for a while. We're looking for a house. Why couldn't we do it before? Why did we have to wait till December? It was mostly because we probably love our parents. We wanted to be with them. You know, but like just small things like that, you know, that's a testimony of God's faithfulness in my life. But why can't it be a testimony in your life? Why do you have to wait? Why do you have to just live this life, wishy-washy? Oh, I'm just going to live for the next 10 years, and I want to pray and believe God for something. No, do it right now. Because you don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out on the purpose and the calling that God has for you. And it's better that you do it now. And start fasting now. Amen. If you want to be included in this prayer, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Father God, you see our hearts. You see our desires. You see where we're at. You see what we're going through. You see what we're facing. You left us with these amazing spiritual practices, prayer and fasting. And we just pray that you would help us to be more eager to do that, because we know there's going to be a benefit for us personally in our walk with you, God. We pray that you would help us to follow you with all of our hearts, and that we would offer our body as a sacrifice to you daily, that we would lay down our pride, we would humble ourselves, and we would seek your will and your way for our lives, God, because that is what's best, that is what we need, that's what we want. Jesus, we commit ourselves to you as your church, as your people. Do what only you can do in our life, God. We pray for people in this room. I pray for your peace to cover everyone. And whatever situation people are in, whatever breakthrough we're praying and believing for, we pray that you would bring that about, God. And that we would see your hand upon our lives as we walk through this life and as we dedicate ourselves to you fully, God. We do not want to be people that will miss out on what you have for us. So may we be aware of that every day of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says, Amen. Amen.